Well, it was starting to feel like this election would stretch on forever, but after more than a year of campaigning, at least, in fact, almost two, I'd say, voting day is finally upon us. What an incredible campaign it has been. 12 Republican presidential nominees, remember that, after the primaries? And the unforeseen nomination of Donald Trump, the closely fought showdown between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and now the final race to the White House, the closest thing, one might argue, to a revolution that we're likely to actually see in modern times. It certainly has been quite a show. And we've been observing it all here on Saturday Extra through the eyes of newspaper editors in local communities that are seen as critical to deciding the outcome of the election. So rather than going super big, we're trying to go small because we thought that was a bit of a change. And it's time now to go for our final instalment of our Election Express series. My guests this week, I'm delighted to say, are Dave Murray. He's managing editor of The Blade newspaper in Toledo and Ohio. And Maria Pena. She's the Washington senior political correspondent for Impre Media's Spanish language newspapers in LA and New York. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Maria, you've been covering US elections since 1992, but this particular campaign must present challenges for you and the rest of the Spanish language media because you've been particularly singled out for attack by one of the presidential candidates.
Exactly. Well, you know, I would say that that's actually an understatement because part of the, we depend on access to sources. And I must say that as hard as we tried, many of my colleagues and I were really, it was really difficult to have access to RNC officials, you know, the Republican National Committee, which is the Republican Party. And, of course, we asked for some FaceTime, some interview time with Donald Trump, and it was just never possible. Sometimes they wouldn't even respond to our emails. So that makes our coverage really challenging. And like you said, I mean, you have to remember that at many of his rallies, he would always, point a blaming finger on the media, accusing the media of being biased and being against them. So yes, it was a really bad year for us in trying to cover the elections in a comprehensive and unbiased way.
Yeah, fairness and balance. And I noticed, like, for instance, we've got some of your La Opinion columns that have gone through your particular group, and there's an open letter to Latinos who plan to vote for Trump. We cannot say, as some Germans said, we did not know what was going to happen. They're pretty extraordinary statements.
Yes. Well, the problem here, I think there's a lot of blame to go around. I think a lot of people underestimated Trump's candidacy when he launched it in June of last year. And part of the problem, I think that regardless of who wins next Tuesday, and the polls are showing a very tight race between the two of them, I think it doesn't matter. Regardless of who wins, we're going to have a really hard climb towards national reconciliation and bringing all the factions together because there are a lot of hurt feelings and the country is polarized.
Yeah.
When he came out and launched his candidacy, of course, you remember that the first thing he did was to attack Mexicans, to attack immigrants, to promise to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it. And interestingly enough, today he was in Columbus, Ohio, repeating the same pledge. So he winds up his campaign the way he started it, bashing immigrants and making us all seem like we're criminals and rapists and that we have nothing to contribute to society in the U.S. And of course, that has motivated a lot of Hispanic voters this year. There's a lot of talk that, again, Hispanics will break records in terms of registering to vote. Mm. There are about 11 million who registered to vote in 2012, and a lot of the advocacy groups are now projecting anywhere from 11 million to 15 million. So we'll see what the numbers say.
Now, over to you now, Dave Murray, in Ohio. What's it like to be there? Because this is such an important state. I mean, you're basically the focal point of both campaigns. Well, you're one of them right now. Do you really think there are any voters still undecided at this point?
Well, the poll showed that 3% of Ohio likely voters still haven't made up their mind, which is really hard to believe. Ohio is really, besides the battleground state, we're always right down the middle. 42% of likely voters are registered Republicans, 41% are registered Democrats, and the rest are independents. Right now, the latest poll shows that Donald Trump is up 5 points over Hillary Clinton, and there are still 3% undecided. So this may be the first time that the president who's elected president loses Ohio but wins the country. The way I look at it,
who doesn't win Ohio wins the country.
Yes, I think Hillary Clinton could easily lose Ohio, but I think she's going to win the Electoral College. It's going to be very close. But so, because of what the other editor was saying, I'm sorry, I forget your name,
Maria,
about Hispanic votes. Hispanic votes are really coming out for Hillary Clinton, and I think she may even pick up. I hope possibly Nevada. I mean, if she wins Arizona, it's all over. But she has a much better, easier chance to get to the Electoral College of 270 than he does.
Yes. Well,
it I wanted to add something. I wanted to add something to that, and I think it's important that you raised it, because Latinos are a significant percentage of the electorate in some of the swing states. Let me name just a few. you have Colorado, Nevada, Florida, and Arizona. They are huge numbers of Latino voters in those swing states. And the latest polling that I saw, for instance, Clinton is likely to win the Latino vote by wide margins in Arizona with 70%, Florida with 63%, Nevada with 72%, and North Carolina with 69% of the Hispanic vote. So that's a big deal for her. Obviously, the challenge is for her to close the enthusiasm gap among millennials and, of course, keep pushing the base out to vote. Because that will be important. Another number that I think has been really interesting is that so far, and the numbers may have changed a little bit, but so far this week, over 22 million Americans have already voted in early voting.
I've heard 30 million have already voted.
Yes. Mm. So, for instance, today was the last day to vote in Georgia. Georgia is also a very significant state, especially for Black Americans that are, a huge part of the Democratic base. Mm. And so, like I said, it's going to be down to the wire. No one is predicting an easy win here. And the fear is that, of course, that no one wants a repeat of the 2000 elections where Florida had, hanging chads and pregnant chads, and it ended up being at the Supreme Court level that decided who the winner was. So obviously nobody wants a repeat of that people want to make sure that this is a transparent process and that everybody
has decisive.
To say.
And I just want to go back to Dave, because there was quite an alarming story in your neck of the woods this week, Dave, about a campaign to intimidate voters in Democrat-friendly areas. It's called Stop the Steal.
StopTheSteal.com. It's a group by Roger Stone, who's a Trump backer. And just today on our federal court in Ohio, a federal court judge placed an injunction on Stop the Steal and an injunction on the Republican Party for having to not intimidate voters at the polls in Ohio. That was a real concern. Donald Trump has been saying to regular people, his supporters, go to the polls, make sure people who are voting should be voting. Well, how can you do that? They're going to pick out someone who's black or brown and say, should you vote? Let me see your ID. So there was a real concern that there was going to be Republicans, Trump people, at the polls harassing people, and a federal judge in Ohio today has said that can't happen.
Okay.
So I think there'll be a bigger police presence now to make sure that doesn't happen. But back to what you just said about early voting. This is so important. It's the reason I think that Clinton's going to have the upper hand. Donald Trump has got... he loves these rallies. He can bring out several thousand people. He can throw red meat at them. They can yell and cheer and say, lock her up, but he has no ground game. He's relying on the Republican Party for a ground game, and most of the Republicans, especially in Ohio, don't like you. And they're not going door-to-door for him. They're not giving people lots of vote. But Hillary Clinton has an amazing ground game, the same ground game that Barack Obama did. And I would say at least 80% of the early votes are probably Democrats. And so... That really bodes well for Clinton in this case.
Yeah, I mean, you're just saying, interestingly, the divisions among the media coverage of it in terms of the interpretations is terribly interesting. Look, I'm going to ask you both in about 30 seconds each what you consider as sort of good editors and correspondents has been the biggest story of this whole sort of, I don't know, election campaign stroke circus. What for you, Dave?
For me, the biggest story is Trump has brought out the worst in American politics. Trump has always been this right-wing, you know, what some people might say, right-wing nut job, you know, population out there that's been fed by talk radio for years. It birthed the Tea Party movement, but we have never seen a candidate who's brought out a white nationalist, the KKK, the really racist underbelly of this country that we're all ashamed of. And we thought it was gone.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it's flourished under Trump. I really believe, looking back in history, that is what historians are going to say was something different about this.
And can I just go to Maria quickly? Maria, what would you say?
Yes, I agree with that, but I'll also add that I think another big piece of this narrative for this year has been the rise of insurgent campaigns like Trump's, like Bernie Sanders, who lost, of course, the Democratic primary, and that's because of the unease and the continuing economic anxiety among working-class voters who feel left out of the economic recovery. So, you know, the populist message for both of these, you know, Trump on the right and Bernie Sanders on the left, you know, that really resonated among many Americans who feel left out of the system.
Look, thank you both very much. I know you had a lot more to say, but and I can hear you all sort of super revved up. Thanks so much to you, Dave Murray and Maria Pena.
Thank you so much for having
us. Pleased to be with you.
Bye-bye. Dave Murray is from the Blade newspaper, and that's the Blade because it was the wheat, and they used to cut the wheat. Isn't that clever? From Toledo, Ohio, and Maria Pena, Washington senior political correspondent for Impromedia, which is the big Hispanic media. And I want to thank Isabel Summerson, our producer, for putting together that whole American Election Express series and finding those marvellous people. We'll have extensive coverage, of course, on RN after the election, with Fran Kelly, extended coverage of on Drive and on Afternoons on Wednesday, and of course Late Night Live with Philip Adams, who will have a special panel, including Bruce Shapiro.